From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Upon some points, a believer is absolutely sure. He knows, for instance, that God sits in the stern sheets of the vessel when it rocks most. He believes that an invisible hand is always on the world's tiller, and wherever providence may drift, Jehovah steers it. That reassuring knowledge prepares him for everything. He looks over the raging waters and sees the Spirit of Jesus treading the billows, and he hears a voice saying, "It is I, be not afraid." He knows, too, that God is always wise, and knowing this, he is confident that there can be no accidents, no mistakes, that nothing can occur which ought not to arise. He can say, "If I should lose all I have, it is better that I should lose than have, if God so wills. The worst calamity is the wisest and the kindest thing that could befall me if God ordains it." We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. The Christian does not merely hold this as a theory, but he knows it as a matter of fact. Everything has worked together for good as yet. The poisonous drugs mixed in fit proportions have worked the cure. The sharp cuts of the lancet have cleansed out the proud flesh and facilitated the healing. Every event as yet has worked out the most divinely blessed results. And so, believing that God rules all, that He governs wisely, that He brings good out of evil, the believer's heart is assured, and he is enabled calmly to meet each trial as it comes. The believer can, in the spirit of true resignation, pray, "Send me what Thou wilt, my God, so long as it comes from Thee. Never came there an ill portion from Thy table to any of Thy children. Say not, my soul, from whence can God relieve my care? Remember that omnipotence has servants everywhere. His method is sublime, His heart profoundly kind. God never is before His time, and never is behind."
Yeah. truth and grace. When I place all my trust in
In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing this series in the Law of God, Dr. Cairns is emphasizing the permanence of God's law. In presenting the evidences for the law's permanence, Dr. Cairns began by disposing of the idea that the law began at Sinai with the giving of the Ten Commandments. God gave His law to our first parents in the Garden of Eden, and He maintained it throughout the period of the patriarchs. Throughout the Old Testament, there is a consistent emphasis upon keeping God's law. Christ Himself declared that the law would not pass away until all was fulfilled. The Apostle Paul declared that God has written His law on the hearts of all men. Indeed, God's moral law will be His standard of judgment as all stand before Him. Consequently, we'll see that because the law is still in effect, no one can avoid its authority. The fall did not abrogate it, time does not erode it, and grace does not annul it. People who are truly saved delight in God's law. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, The Permanence of God's Law.
Has God changed? He says, I am Jehovah, I change not. Paul said, Jesus Christ is the same. A great old Presbyterian theologian from Northern Ireland thought that the best expression of Paul's meaning there was, Jesus Christ is Himself, yesterday and today and forever. Has God changed? Well, let me put it like this to you. When God changes, then we can take it, His law will change. When God ceases to be unspeakably, eternally, immutably holy, just, and good, then His law may change. But until then, His moral law never changes. Time does not erode it. The great issues of the Ten Commandments are not matters that change with the climate of public opinion, or with religion, or with culture. They are the absolutes to which God holds every man and every nation. Furthermore, grace does not annul the moral law. We read that clearly in our text. The Lord Jesus did not come to destroy it. For believers, of course, the law as a covenant whereby we work our way to heaven is finished. God does not say to us, as He said to Adam before the fall, here is a standard of personal obedience whereby you gain the blessing of God's promise. No, no. You're not justified by obeying the law. You try to get to heaven by obeying the law, and you'll end up in hell. For who can keep God's law? Where is the man who can stand beside the holy book of God's law and say, Lord, look at my heart, I'm sinless. Look at my thoughts, I'm sinless. Look at all my actions, I am sinless. I have not left undone one thing I should have done. I have not done anything I ought not to have done. I have not deviated from the absolute standard of divine perfection. Where is the man who can say it? Not one of us. We stand condemned as guilty, law-breaking wretches, rebels against the throne of heaven. But oh, thank God, Christ can say that. Here is the man, Christ Jesus. In His life, in His person, in His thoughts, in His motives, in His actions, in His death, in every part of Him, He can stand before God, as He does, and say, I am perfect. What a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, having fully satisfied God's law and fully honored God's law, having paid the price of the broken law in the shedding of His blood at Calvary, now saves His people from the condemnation of the law. Hiding in Christ, we're saved for all eternity. There's only one hiding place when it comes to that judgment day, and that is to stand in Him who has perfectly satisfied the law. Let me ask you tonight, are you standing in Christ? Can you say, He is my righteousness? I'm not trusting what I have done. I'm trusting what He has done. Is that your testimony? If you are in Christ, let me make it clear to you, the grace that saves you writes the law of God on your heart. We have read that already in Hebrews 8 verse 10. I'll put my law in their minds and in their hearts I will write this law. In other words, the mark of people who are genuinely trusting Jesus is that they regard God's law. They love God's law. And by God's grace, they strive to keep God's law. Now you listen to me very carefully. For I think this is one of the great scourges of modern America. The Bible knows absolutely nothing. If you forget most of what I've said, remember this. The Bible knows absolutely nothing of this glib, cheap, easy, meaningless profession of salvation by faith, so called, that leaves a man without any concern to obey his God. We have populated our churches with people who have made one decision after another, and oh yes, I'm a Christian. Of course they live like the devil. They've imbibed a theology which says the law's passed, free from the law, happy condition. As I said last week, taking those words in a way that neither the scriptures nor the hymn writer would ever entertain. I don't need to keep God's law. That's why you look at churches tonight. You'll find adulterers in the pulpit and in the pew. Now let me say, a church pew is a good place to bring an adulterer or a thief or a vagabond or a sinner in order to get him the gospel and get him saved. But we have populated our churches with people who can live in open, willful, wicked, wretched defiance of the law of God and then say, oh, of course, I'm trusting Jesus. I tell you, it is a lie. You are not trusting Jesus. If your heart has no concern to glorify Him in a life of obedience, you're not saved by your works. But when you're saved by the work of Christ, He writes His law upon your heart and He gives you a desire to fulfill it and to live out a life of godliness and holiness that will magnify Him who saved you. No true Christian can ever desire to be free from the directives and the moral imperatives of God's law. A man who's genuinely saved would think that it was hell on earth, not heaven on earth, to be separated from an obligation of obedience to his God. Anarchy has no part in the makeup of a genuine believer. A man whose heart has been washed in the blood and to whom has been imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ to give him a gracious standing with God. That man will say with Paul that the law is holy and just and good, and therefore I delight in that law of God after the inward man. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:21, I am not without law to God. I am under the law to Christ. What a statement. I am not under the law as a covenant whereby I work my way to heaven. Thank God Jesus worked my way to heaven for me. But as one who has been freed from the curse and the condemnation of that covenant of works, as one who has been freely justified by the grace of God and washed in the blood of God's dear Lamb, I find my heart bound to obey God in Christ. So even grace does not annul God's moral law. And one final thought: rebellion does not remove it. In Hosea chapter 8 and verse 12, we have one of the most terrible statements God ever made regarding Israel. I have written unto him the great things of my law. What a privilege. What a blessing. Ah, but they were counted as a strange thing. I wonder, could God write that over some of your lives tonight? Could God address that to some of you who sit here I have written to you the great things of my law. I have given you this book. You've grown up with the revelation of God in Scripture, but you count it as a strange thing. Listen to me very carefully. Man may ignore God's law. Man may blaspheme God's law. They may mock God's law. They may utterly despise God's law. They may trample it beneath their feet. One thing they cannot do, they cannot destroy God's law. Its permanence is guaranteed by the God who gave it.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.